Welcome into the Common Sense Podcast by Connective, where we connect you to the future of banking. Join us as we dive into the latest news and trends in banking and fintech, learn from leaders in the space, and make the complex simple. It's Common Sense. I'm your host, Ben Hallbrooks, and in this episode, you'll hear a fascinating discussion I recently had with Robin Brashears, Executive Director at Arvest Bank. Arvest is a community-focused regional bank with more than 200 banking locations. Total assets exceed $26 billion, and Arvest is one of the largest payment processing banks in the U.S. In our interview, Robin dives into efficiency and transformation, which are two words that are thrown around a lot in the industry, but she gives them real concrete definition for what that looks like at Arvest, how they've overcome operational barriers, and finally, she gives advice to other financial institutions seeking to innovate. Anyway, here's that conversation with Robin Brashears. Enjoy. I'll start here, Robin. Arvest is dedicated to a customer-first tech transformation. So what does that look like?
It looks like a lot of things, but I'll say, first of all, it really is all about looking toward our future. And where do we want to be in not just the next 5 or 10 years, but the next 100 years? And how do you keep up with the pace of technology, right? And so it's really critical. But as you chase technology, you have to understand customer pain points and what are they dealing with and how do we solve those pain points with better solutions through our technology. We also are looking for methods that are part of our overall strategy of, you know, I know you've heard this where many institutions are getting off of those on-premises solutions and they're moving more to the cloud. Well, that's nice, but it has to be part of your strategy, right? What were you trying to accomplish in that? We're mindful about mitigating gaps and providing best financial solutions that we can for our customers. And examples of those would be adopting a cloud-based banking platform and developing a data platform. You know, data is your number one asset. And if you're not protecting it and using it the right way, you've got some work to do there. And I would say in the future, we're really looking hard at AI and machine learning and those sorts of tools that can be helpful in operating efficiencies and better serving customers that way as well. So that would be how I would help you with those questions, Ben, is what are the things that Arvest is looking at?
Excellent. Yeah, and I love how you describe it as a comprehensive strategy and not just sort of just a la carte saying, well, that looks interesting. We'll try that here. But, you know, it's a lot more of a planned approach. And you can see that in what you're doing in Arvest. So let's talk about that for a second. So how have your technology investments improved efficiency to deliver modern products and services?
Oh, that's a big question as far as, you know, we continue to work towards really staying flexible and intentional with our investments. Like I said a minute ago, we're not blindly chasing technology for technology's sake, and we're looking at solutions that are really the best business objectives. So in October of 2022, this is a great example of some things that we are doing. We launched a new operating process for our Arvest Equipment Finance arm of the business that we do. And, you know, that business itself is a $1 trillion industry out there. So what can we do that really simplifies the process, makes it faster? And we used Thought Machine, which is our new platform we're using to move away from on-prem to do some things. And so that's one example of how we've really sped up the process. But it also allows us to scale on not just locally, but nationally. How can we be engaged with our vendors who we serve the equipment finance needs, those sorts of things. So that's just one example of some efficiencies that we've gained by looking at that different platform.
Excellent. Yeah, I appreciate that. And I know that this is the kind of stuff you could talk about for hours. So I appreciate you just giving a few examples here. But
sure.
I love how the desire there is to continue to make something better, to not just say, hey, what works, So right. Let's just not touch it. But hey, we can always improve. So let's improve. Let's look forward to scale and how we can get better and better. What are some traditional operational barriers that you've overcome and how? And if you want to just give me one, that's fine. But you take that in whatever direction you like.
So I think, you know, when I look at transformation, about 70% of transformation fails because we have lack of engagement, or we have insufficient investment in that new tool, or we've missed our objective, right? So that's where transformation can fail. And we've got to make sure that everyone knows the goal, what their role is in making it successful, and then really measuring along the way, have we achieved what we're doing with transformation? And so when you look at our traditional operational efficiencies or inefficiencies, as you want to look at those things, we've got to measure the new stuff against what we were doing to see if we're really achieving those goals of becoming more efficient. And I'll just share a tool that we're using through our organizational change management group called ADCAR. And ADCAR is a change management tool we use. ADCAR stands for awareness. Are we aware of what we're doing? And have we socialized that enough so that everybody can see and understand what's coming? Is there desire? Are we creating a desire from leadership on down to make the change? Do we have knowledge to know what we need to be doing? Or do we have the ability to do it? And then the last one would be, can we reinforce what we're trying to accomplish? So that goes back to the efficiencies you're asking about and measuring against various, what have we been doing and what are we gaining? I'll go back to the equipment finance as an example. You know, we measured how long it took to get a loan through the process on the equipment finance side. And then we said, well, can we do it better, faster, simpler using Thought Machine? And we found that we could. So that's a great example.
Wow. I love that. And I love the ADCAR acronym as well.
There's a book out there. Shame on me. I should tell you the author of the book. But look it up on Amazon. It's a great read. It's really good.
Deal. Yeah. Well, that's a good transition to my final question for you, which was, what advice would you give to other financial institutions seeking to innovate?
Well, banking has always been competitive. It's always been a competitive landscape, a competitive environment. You know, there are rapid developments in technology that are really, I'll finish up with my best advice that I have, but it's just constantly at us, in our face, all the time. And it's increasing expectations are coming from our customers as well on being tech savvy, digitally innovative, those sorts of things, right? So you've got to always be looking at those things. But more important than ever, we have to be willing to invest in these digital tools. These banks have to be looking at that. They have to meet customers where and when they want to be met and how they want to be met. It may not always be in a branch. It may not always be digitally or in a call center, right? So you've got to really be evaluating, how can we meet customers where they want to be met? And I think we've also got to look at investing in resources that identify and solve problems to make our bank stand out. So what I would say about this technology and these fintechs that are constantly knocking on your door, for banks, you have to stop seeing them so much as a competitor and be a partner. Like, how can they be a partner with us? Because they can move faster and smarter than a lot of our banks can. And so we have to just really learn how they can support our business objectives. And then we have to choose those partners wisely. You know, fintechs come and go all the time. They're acquired or they try something and it doesn't work, and they come and go all the time. So you've got to be very selective in who you choose to be your partner. But it's important that they're seen that way and not so much as a competitor. So that would be my advice that I would provide.
Thanks. That's great advice, and clearly spoken from a wealth of experience. I think the proof is in the pudding, as they say, for our best. You guys have really shown excellence in that area in a big way. And I can't wait to see what else is in store as you guys continue to iterate and improve and make everything faster, simpler, better, and all those things that you've endeavored to accomplish. So,
well, thank you so much. And what you do, Ben, at Connective, thank you all so much. It's a pleasure being a partner with you all. Take care.
Me too.
And that's a wrap for today. Huge thanks to Robin Brashears for that interview. And I looked it up, and the name of the book that she mentions is ADKAR, that's ADKAR, A Model for Change in Business, Government, and Our Community by Jeffrey M. Hyatt. So you can check that out if you're interested. You can find out more about Arvest at arvest.com. And you can subscribe to Common Sense anywhere you get your podcasts. Common Sense is brought to you by Connective, the leading provider of connectivity, workflow, and analytic software for the banking sector. Check us out at Connective, that's KINECTIVE.io, and connect the future of banking. Until then, we'll catch you on the next episode. It's Common Sense.